Say it again. No, guys, that's not Ray. He's not. He's not having a moment there. I don't even want to go there. He's like the old. What they used to call it? The old thing, funk. The what?
That's that James Brown.
The James right. Brown.
I felt that.
Get him with it.
How was that concert back in the day, though?
Damn.
Just kidding.
Wow.
Man.
Right out there.
And it is Friday. Right. Welcome back.
I mean, just right.
Man.
Just.
No, actually, no. Not out the gate, but were you there gates back then? Okay. No, I'm just kidding. Man, it's welcome back, man. It's Friday, so I guess you guys wonder, we're not having a, we don't actually have a review today, but it's good to see you guys and actually be back. Dang, two shows in, huh?
Back and better than ever.
Yeah, we're back. We'll see if we're better. I don't know if we're rusty. I don't know. I'm a little rusty.
It's a little rust.
Rust. It's like riding a bike, though. I haven't hit the... Friday.
You are rusty. Yeah, I'm gonna get you some lemon water, some hot lemon tea, some tea with lemon in it. There we go. That's what works with the vocalist.
You know, I felt that.
There you go, bro.
That was James Brown-ish for real.
Okay.
I was like
you're channeling him right now.
89.
I'm feeling that.
Yeah. 81. James Brown-ish. When he's 81. That's when they had him on ice for a few days.
Damn.
I'm kidding. Yo, can you believe they had that dude's body like 3 months on ice or something when they were fighting over his estate?
No, I did not know that.
Really? Yeah, man. James Brown was frozen for a long time.
Why they had him on ice for like...
Because their family was fighting over his estate, man.
So what does it got to do with his estate?
Because, your family controls the rights of your body. So, yeah, man. Hey, it's good to have a will, because if you don't, somebody will literally control.
Trust something.
Yep, will trust and control how you want to go. I mean, if you want to be cremated, or you want to be on ice, or you want to, you know, or you want to be used as a science project, man, you donate your body to science. Hey, anyone that's next to kin can control how you
want your body to be taken care of.
Well, how they want your body to be taken care of. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty morbid.
That's a real bleak.
Hey, I was just saying, Friday. He brought that up. He brought Friday? James hey, Brown. Wait, who wait, brought James Brown? I didn't. I just brought some knowledge to you.
He was channeling James.
I was just trying to tell you. But the man was on ice. I was just trying to give you some facts. The dude was on ice.
Like,
months. Right. I watched the film because Chadwick, he did a good job on that. You guys ever seen the Bring Feel It? Was it Funk? What was it called?
I didn't really like it that much.
You didn't? Because you knew the original. Just kidding, man. Just kidding, but it feels good to be back. Why did you like it, though? Tell us.
You know, the problem was...
What's that?
Chad, he was doing too many things. Like, he was Jackie Robinson. He was this other... Like, he played too many different characters.
Gosh.
I just didn't like that.
So you... I thought the same thing, but you know what? I did like his. I thought, oh, this is going to be terrible. No, it was great. Kate and I actually talked about that the other day. We're like, there's this other show right now that just popped on as I don't know what's a black. It's a lot of black actors, and I'm like, oh my god, all they do is recycle the same black actors. All I see is Lauren Chestnut as someone all the time now on TV shows.
Are you talking about Morris Chestnut?
Chestnut, the guy you look like. Yeah, Jeff looked like Lawrence. Was it Morris or Norris? Lauren.
I'm not even going to tell you.
Morris Chestnut. And he like a mixture between that and Denzel from Glory.
From Glory, right?
Oh, my Lord,
not cool Denzel. Denzel from Glory.
Bro, right. That was his breakout. Yo, when that he was getting whooped, breakout. He was like, yo, the way that dude made that tear come out, when he was getting whooped, came right out, dude.
I felt that, too.
Yo. Come on, sir. Yes, sir.
All he went with some shoes.
Yo, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yo, and Morgan Freeman, his old ass. Morgan Freeman is like, it's like a cruel, he's got like, you know how they say the black don't crack? Morgan Freeman's like, it's like a cruel hoax. Like a vampire got him right in after his prime. Like right. He was 50 years old and a vampire got him like, ha-ha, you're going to be old forever. Ah. Well,
he's old man forever.
He's still 50. I swear I'm a vampire. And Andy, my friend Andy, said...
You better leave my man.
Bro, Redemption? No, Shawshank Redemption?
Oh, yeah.
My friend Andy, if I can be with Andy. My good friend. Dude, I'm trying to tell you, the dude's a vampire. We're going to find out one day. He's either a vampire or he's God.
No, I can't. Cannot.
I am God. And Andy is my son.
Reggie's in a riff. It's Friday.
Yeah, it is, it's right?
It absolutely is Friday. but, yo, how was your week? How you guys' week's been? Week, been. Or weeks, because it's been weeks, months.
Same as always, just busy.
Busy.
Life.
Work. No play? Bro, you've been playing at LA Fitness. What are you talking about?
I'm playing with Little Ray, so it's work.
That's work? Why? You got to teach him?
You know, yeah, it's always about training.
Oh, gotcha. Yo, he was like, yo, I at least love when Ray came in to LA Fitness, because he was like, you always reminded me of Isaiah Thomas, because they were like the same height. you remind me, because like the point guard skill, and he had that IQ, so I love playing with you. That's why I was like, oh, you know, when you came in, I was like, oh, this is going to be great. Until Ray's head blew up. And then little Ray turned into MJ.
He had Isaiah energy.
Yo, and then he turned into Jordan. I was like, yo, let me get the last shot, right? He was like, no, I got this. I'm like, what? Yo, all I heard was, there's no team and I. What the hell is this man talking about? Turning to Kobe. What? I said, nobody even said it to you. Give me the ball. What?
Is he the one that forced you into retirement?
I had to retire. Yeah. Because I was like, yo, Ray is.
Enough room on the court for both of you?
Not the egos, man. You know, it was like Shaq and Penny, like Anthony Hardaway. I had to let him go. I was like, LA, please.
Peace.
I didn't even realize on the LA Fitness. I was like, oh, can I get the LA Fitness? But yeah, it was good. But what about you, Jeff?
Ah, man, same deal here. You know, it's work, it's family, busy projects, a little bit of travel. It's been a good blend.
Travel. Speaking of travel, you said this off of air. Yeah, you didn't mention this before on the Monday. What that we pre-recorded. You guys know how it works here. You traveled recently.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Last weekend, I was actually with your brothers. You know,
my brothers.
Your brothers.
And that's the ER guys, not the AH.
Right.
That's the real brothers.
Real brothers. Yeah, real brothers.
With your brothers.
Your brothers.
Yes. We went out to DR, Dominican Republic, for a couple of days.
Nice.
Spent the weekend out there.
Yeah.
We were wined and dined, stayed in a super nice spot.
Nice.
You know, a luxury spot, you know, on site chef, cooked for us three times a day.
So you weren't poisoned like the other tourists were back in the day.
No, man, this was an excellent experience, and if anybody's looking to get away for a little bit, you know, the pricing, both tickets and stay in Punta Cana, it can be a little pricey. But
what you say, Punta what?
Punta Cana.
Punta. Wasn't Punta a bad word? Punta.
No. He's saying Punta, not Puta.
Oh my gosh, Ray! Damn, bro! I didn't know you were Americano. go ahead, brother. What you saying?
But yeah, no, like Punta Cana. It's like one of their tourist destinations.
Oh, okay,
and it's really nice. So. You know, as far as like feeling safe,
you know,
they've got a security guard.
Awesome.
You know, and it's like this huge resort complex, you know, multiple access to beaches. It's really, really good time. It was a fun couple of days.
Yeah. So y'all were balling, huh?
Huh?
Y'all were balling out.
I mean, we was fake balling.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we was faking it till we make it.
But hey, that's how you got to do it. Yeah.
In the moment, no one could tell the difference.
Yo,
he's like, yo, we here, we belong. You know?
But yo,
like,
but the reason for the trip, was it a vacation? You got to specify what it was for.
It was a bachelor party for your brother.
Oh, and he's getting married. Yo, so my brother's getting married on the 30th.
That's right. Shout out, you know,
to Richard.
Congratulations on this next
and
step,
Miranda.
Man, so you didn't go to your brother's bachelor party?
No, man.
You weren't invited.
I wasn't invited.
No.
I wasn't invited, man. No. No, we had other pressing issues. Like I told you guys before, my brother-in-law passed away.
That's right.
So that was that hit deep, man. Still recovering from that. And just a lesson to you guys, man. Love just pick up the phone, tell the person you are quarreling with, you're arguing with, you love them, even if you guys hate each other, send them a text. There's so many ways to communicate with people these days. I feel that there's no excuse not to to avoid them. You know what I mean? You can send something and let that be their regret they didn't respond to your text. But don't let that be your regret you didn't send a text. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was funny you say that. Did any of you guys see, this was just in passing, I was on IG, yeah, and I guess I saw a little interview with Mike Tyson where he was talking to, for the life of me, I'm not remembering who it was, but he was basically asking him, okay, well, what happens when, you know, you're over someone, like, you know, you kind of get into a spat or maybe they do you wrong.
Yeah.
And the dude was like, yo, I check out. Like, I'm good. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike had a really interesting take on it. He was just like, you know what? That person is not your master. He's like, what does that mean? Like, how can he be my master? I'm done with him. I cut him off. He's like, that person forced you to alter your behavior. They control you. They are your master because you changed how you normally would move. Because of that person.
Wow.
I was like, wow, that's super deep.
That's Mike Tyson. Right?
That's what I said. Bro,
he's more wise than you think, man.
It's crazy. His stuff recently, man. Like,
hey, you know he has that, you know, that weed factory.
Well.
Yeah, he does have that, but yeah. I think, you know, he's been stereotyped so long. We just picture him just being this, you know, lack of a better term, dumb jock or something. But he's a Muslim.
So Mike is one of, you know, like the theme, and then we've covered this a lot quite a bit
since
we started doing this, is just growth, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
You know, Mike of back in the day, where his mind was at and what was his focus has, you know, definitely changed. And I think that's one part, just, you know, the humbling of where his career was versus where it went. And then just natural growth. And, man, it's really good to see him in, you know, like this new light. And it's maybe not a new light for the people closest to him, but you're right. Like, it's stepping outside of that stereotype, like that vision we have of who he was versus who he is.
And you've seen the cameos. Like, the cameos, I think the thing with him that made him have a comeback was The Hangover, right?
That was one of them.
That was that's basically what put him back on the comeback trail. And then he had his stand-up. He did a stand-up where that was really good and funny.
It wasn't about his life.
Yes, like, that was hilarious. I couldn't believe he was up there. Yeah, he sweated like a mofo, but he was great.
And what was even better about that was not only the stand-up, but when you got to see behind the scenes on, like, the toll it takes on him and all the things that go into, like, getting him to where he needs to be and how just the normal everyday struggles of someone, you know, like, you just, it for me, it just helped me connect on a whole nother level. But you're right, that stand-up was huge.
I watched an interview with him about talking about boxing, about the history of other boxers from the past, and his knowledge was better than anyone I've ever seen as far as the history of, like, the old-time boxer.
It has to be,
like, he knew them, like, he was looking at, like listening to Google.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he knew everything. But because
you got to study. Yeah. You got to study the great, bro.
I mean, he did. I mean, he knew them just like their movements, how they saw other opponents. I mean, he knew the history of them.
You know, the super impressive thing about that stand-up was not only the real-life stories that he told that help you relate, but even when you got to see the behind-the-scenes stuff on, like, his connection with, I believe, his wife at the time, which I think they're still married, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
But, like, the prep and stuff that it took to kind of get him ready to go out there and do the show. And then you hear for him how, you know, that wasn't easy either. Like, it really helped identify. It helped me, like, really identify, like, wow, like, this is just a normal, everyday dude. Yeah, he's Iron Mike and he can knock any one of us out. But, like, he goes through some of the same mental progression and fears and issues that any one of us would go through, and it just made it super relatable. Like, I really enjoyed that stand-up.
Yeah, he was vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's the main thing. Exactly. He was vulnerable. He was out of his natural element where he's not in the ring ready to, as he said in the interview before, he said, I'll eat your children.
Right.
You know, craziness. Mm. It was just him
being
open, sharing stuff that he usually doesn't share on a normal basis, and it was good to see him doing that.
I think we're attracted to that. Like you just said, I think we're attracted to vulnerability. I think that's becoming more attractive. I think maybe that's the new norm with social media being so vulnerable, showing our true sides, that people are like, I can relate to that. Oh, remember they said mental health was always pushed in the back, even for, law enforcement or whatever. When they dealt with it, they would pick up, you know, alcohol or whatever and deal with it. But now they put that to the forefront as far as, hey, mental health is important and it's an actual thing. So people expressing that, like, oh, I can relate to that person. Like Jeff was just saying, I can relate that, Mike Tyson has anxiety. He has this or whatever, and he's a normal person.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't wake up and says, I have this confidence. No, I have so much fears. I have so much anxiety. I have so much things that I have to deal with on top of being who I'm supposed to be, as top of being the heavyweight champion of the world when I was.
Yeah.
So it's the relatability. It's the vulnerability that we can see in that. Now we can. So there's a beauty to social media, and there's a darkness to social media. The beauty is we can identify, we can relate to these people now. Like, oh shoot, these people, they face what we have. Okay, yeah, they don't have. So not all of them have silver spoons. Or if they had a silver spoon, they still have problems.
Or you can look at it as far as we saw them as superheroes, but then you see that they're human just like us.
Absolutely, and if they can overcome their fears, their anxiety, and stuff, we can also do it as well.
Right.
Or if they're dealing with lows and struggles and troubles, then you know what? We're not alone. Like, you know what? Listen, this guy has a social profile and a physique that could take out, 60% of the people.
Exactly.
And he's dealing with some of the same stuff I'm dealing with. You know what? You know, there's support in that,
Right.
Absolutely. And speaking of, that brings us to the next topic is mental health. So, dealing with the whole Gabby Petito, hope I'm pronouncing your name right. What do you guys think about this whole, because this has to do with social media, that's who all is getting involved. That's why it's also getting so much publicity, is because of social media, because she was a presence online, and she was going to document her journey with her boyfriend or fiance. Well, we're figuring out that the relationship was no longer, from what I've heard, it was to like salvage the relationship, but their engagement was off. But anyway, so
they were having issues that we didn't know about until now.
So
isn't that how most relationships are? Kind of like, with social media, you make things look perfect
because absolutely, face.
And plus she had a brand as well. She had a brand where she was selling the look of vacations, traveling, living a good life. It probably would not have been great to have the garbage put up front. But at the same time, the question is, why was Gabby's story so important? It's a combination of her following, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, she was a cute Caucasian girl.
Okay.
And people like sad stories. People like drama. They do. Mm. Now, there are other stories out there where people are missing or haven't been heard from that get no attention. The reason why, I don't know if that's for me to answer, but we all have our opinions on why. And I just want to say that for me personally.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a color thing, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I can see that. I can definitely see that and I agree with that.
And I want to say, her situation is sad, of course. I don't wish that upon anyone at all, not at all. But there are so many people of color who are not even mentioned when they go missing at all, or even they don't get the same kind of support. The outcry, the help. They got the FBI involved.
Yeah. Well, I think the FBI involved because it crossed state lines, too. I think, that's the protocol for it. You want to say?
So, first and foremost, my heart goes out to her family. As a father, as a sibling, I can't even begin to imagine what they're going through, just the pain, the uncertainty, the questions. I'm sending good energy and prayers, and I'm hoping that they can find some level of peace as they deal with this ordeal, because it feels like we're just getting into the nitty gritty of this situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That said, I don't believe that her family should at all feel some kind of way, because people are looking at the type of publicity it's getting. If it was my child, I'd want it screamed from the mountaintops. Matter of fact, I'd want you know, my child's picture on the space station if I could get him on there, because I want everybody to SpaceX. Be out there looking. Yes, yes. Send it up with Elon's rocket, that's please. Funny. I want the world to see it. That said, I think taking the approach of, oh, well, you know what, it kind of got the publicity it did because she had followers. I think that's something we say to, you know, maybe make ourselves feel better. The truth mm-hmm. is, if you just look through history when it comes to missing individuals, historically speaking, you know, who tends to get a national APB put out versus who doesn't, I think the numbers will show otherwise. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you could take that and move it and do what you want with it, but if we're just operating off of facts and history and, you know, even situations that's going on right now of people that, you know, have been on social media platforms, you know, begging and pleading for some help for their missing children, and it didn't even get a fraction of, you know, the publicity that this situation did. It's a shame. I know we can't do it for everyone. I just wish that we saw a better mix of how that urgency and how those resources get applied. And, you know, it just doesn't feel like that's what's happening right now.
But speaking of, you touched on a great point right there. Speaking of, as far as social media has now put that capability, that power into the people's hands now. So it's because a lot of attention of things that have happened, speaking of, you know, last year or what, with the George Floyd.
I'm social media. I'm talking about main media.
Oh, no. Main media has been the gatekeepers. No, has been the gatekeepers. But social media is now becoming, getting more notice, more notoriety, more credibility than it used to. Because a lot of these media, main media outlets are actually using the social media, what they bring to light, especially with this Gabby thing. They brought some things to light, and you see the main media start covering what a TikToker says about the case or brings up something about it. Like you had someone saying, someone created a fake account for Gabby, saying, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm whatever. I just needed a break. I'm so and so forth. Please stay off the laundry thing. You know, their family. You know, let them rest." And then someone, you know, a TikToker came and she was like, "Yo, what was this?" And she was like, you know, she did a research. She was like, "This sounds to me like, you know, it's either someone that knows the family or it is the family." Because to me, I'm a mom, and she was like, "You know, as a mom, I would do anything for my kid and say so and so forth, so to take the energy off." So they found out. She did a research. She did some crap where she like missing forgotten password. And then she saw that they had an email that had Gabby and they put the birthday, you know, the year, the Gmail. And then she did some other research and the phone number goes to the phone number. Then the last letters of the phone number are 57. And she did some phone checkup thing. I mean, this is the world we live in where these people are just tech savvy. And then she looked, you know, the numbers for the Lowry's. And sure enough, the mom ending in 57, not saying it's her, but the number ended in 57 that she had associated with the Instagram account.
So you're saying a TikToker did all this?
A TikToker did all this. But I'm just saying because they watch the catfish shows and stuff, and they give them all these they have all these resources now so you're not catfished.
That sounds a little.
I'm about to say the other thing too, is keep in mind, social media is also, it's at the core, clickbait. It's much like our main media. What can I say or do to get someone to click on my page or take a look at my post or like my post or follow me?
Yeah.
So, you know, I have limited faith in our main media, and I have even less faith in standard social media because there's too many people on there that are opportunistic, just looking for a way to draw you in, you know, whether it be, and if you take a look at it, it's true, whether we're talking politics, religion, health, there's so much craziness out there, it's really hard to distinguish fact from fiction, and a lot of it is just about trying to draw you in. So, I mean, that may very well be true, but I approach that with a grain of salt.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of stuff is attention grabbing, or who can go viral next. Absolutely opportunist, like you're saying. But like you said, some of them are good.
I suspect if that's the truth, we're going to find it when as we get more details on what's going to transpire with this investigation. That's going to probably
from what I've seen as far as the family's action, it doesn't seem far fetched. I mean, the guy. So let's say for instance,
action is not an action.
No, what I'm saying as far as so the family. So the guy comes home. He's there for 10 days. He comes home from this trip that he went, a 3-month or so trip with his fiance, supposed fiance at the time, right? It's her van. He comes home with her van, right?
Very fishy.
Very fishy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they live with you.
Now, it was her van, but wasn't it in front of him, and wasn't he the one working on it for weeks?
What do you mean in front of him working on for weeks?
Like, when the van was purchased, I thought I read where one of the neighbors said that they had seen the van outside for multiple days, and him out there like working on it, customizing it.
Oh, probably, but they live together. They live together in his parents' house. So
I didn't know they lived together.
Yeah, they live together. So he came home without her
after the trip.
After the trip, pulled in
that they went. They went to together.
Exactly, came home without her.
Right.
Weird. And you know, came with her phone. I mean,
yeah, it was.
It would have really sparked a conversation like, hey, like, if, okay, so let's put it in perspective. You guys are two parents, and I'll ask what you guys would do. You're living.
Son-in-law,
we'll say that because this would be more relatable. Comes home, and your daughter's missing.
Hey, bro, where my girl at?
Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to be like, oh, if he says, oh, well, she would need some time, you left. You know your daughter has mental issues. You know she has abandonment issues. She's had it all her life.
But it's different, though, because you're asking it from the standpoint of the missing person and us being the parents.
Okay, then you be the son. Okay, then that be your child. So, your son, the kid be your son. You're not. What are you going to do? She comes without Gabby.
So I would ask. I'm like, yo, where's Gabby at? What's going on? Oh, well, we got into a fight, and you know what? She pissed me off, and you know what? I left her. She's making her own way back home. Like, what? Like, what are you talking about, dude? What do you mean you left her somewhere? Okay. Again, I don't know the details. I don't know what he told them.
But for me,
I would leave it at that, depending on my closeness with their relationship and what's going on. Right now, once the news broke that she was missing and her family's reaching out to me, now it's like, wait a minute. You know, what happened? Like, what's going on here? And this is where I think it gets interesting, right?
Okay.
Because we don't know what was said at first, so it does look fishy. I agree with that.
Absolutely.
But what if it was one of those deals where he was like, look, man, we was out on this trip, and she started losing it, and she started whomping on me and beating on me, and I'm not dealing with that because I know if I stick around, things are going to go south. So you know what? I left her there. I left her money for a ticket to fly back home. She could go to her parents' house. We're on a break right now. I wouldn't be happy with that, but I'd be like, you know what? You could have handled that differently. That really wasn't the way to go about it. But I'd maybe make my peace with, like, yo, call on her, check, make sure she's good. You know what I'm saying? Now, once the family comes out and says, like, we haven't heard anything.
Yeah.
What's going on? Then at that point, we need to, like, circle back. Like, so where did you leave her and exactly what happened? And if he's still saying, like, look, I left her at the hotel. Like, everything was fine when I left. Like, you know, yeah, we didn't leave under the best circumstances, but you know what? And, yeah, I probably could have handled that better, but she was fine and able when I left. Then at that point, because of how things look, you've got to get a lawyer involved. And because you have to get a lawyer involved, I'm pretty sure the first thing your lawyer is going to tell you is you don't say a word. Let me handle all communication. It doesn't matter how bad this looks because ultimately all fingers point towards your son. So First let's try and find this girl, right? Because let's actually get a status on where she's at before we make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that's what was said. And now that the potential body has been found, right, because they confirmed that the body has been found,
yeah.
Now you're going into, like, a defense mode. Like, well, where were you? You're covering your bases. Like, again, I 100% agree with you. It is fishy, but what I can say is I feel like the family's lack of information, that makes sense to me, because anything that they put out there potentially can be held against them. Uh-huh. So
we've seen this before in other situations, though, where you don't come out and say anything because it can be used against you.
Yeah.
And also,
you've got to be more forthcoming, I think, as far as
to who?
If it's, she's missing, you've got to be cooperative in a sense.
Right.
He's got to be more cooperative.
And he does have to be more cooperative, but guess what?
Because she's missing. My thing is this clearly pretty much paints
the
it.
Law, clearly the law
yeah.
is not in, the law has not decided him as an official, how do I want to say this? Clearly,
suspect.
They don't have enough for the law to go and break down this door and force him to talk, right? Because, and it started with initial just inquiries from the information I read. And like they said, he wasn't very helpful. The family wasn't very helpful. But at that point, I'm pretty sure it was one of those deals that they've already been in contact with a lawyer that said, you don't say anything. I 100% agree. It does not look good. I would want to believe if that was my child, I'd be like, look, you need to tell these people everything you know. But I also understand the concept of, like, look, whatever he may have told them, they believe him, I guess, maybe, I don't know. And they're like, look, we're basically gonna practice silence here. You know what? Because that is in our best interest, because this does not look good. And anything we say potentially puts him in a bad situation. So you know what? We're just not gonna say anything, and we're gonna leave everything to our lawyer. Doesn't make it, I get it. It doesn't feel right, it doesn't look right.
No.
But is it the smart thing to do? Yes.
Morally, you would have to tell them something morally, because that's the right thing to do as far as how you would want it done to you, as far as your kids,
mm-hmm.
right? You're right. But there's a reason why they call the lawyer. I mean, because usually you say, let's go help find out what's going on. But there's a reason why they call the lawyer.
Absolutely.
They had to know
absolutely
something.
They had to know everything.
Something.
Because to me,
they weren't what, there.
No, because to me, he had to express either whether he expressed it as an accident or something. They had to know because
something was said for them to have to call a lawyer.
And
something was said
because they bought him as much time as possible. Because, I mean, it was 20. What's the last time they seen him? 10 days or whatever thing ago? I mean, he brought the van, right? And then he's no longer, they didn't want to help, then he's no longer at the house, and then they go and they leave, they go and leave a note and say, hey, don't hurt yourself, we miss you. They knew where to find him in the preserve. Then they come back 2 days later and pick up the van or whatever, and then, or the car, and then get the police involved. We haven't heard from him. He's literally, we don't know how long this, like, in my we don't know how long he's been on the run. Me, I don't think he's in the preserve. Me, I think he's in Mexico. Because I think the family is so damn smart that they
smart in Mexico. They got extradition there.
No, I'm saying, but he could be Canada, could be whatever. My point is,
they got that too.
But my point is, he can still go there and hide somewhere because he was just a person of interest. There was no warrant for his arrest. He had so many. He can travel. He can go anywhere. Then no one can stop him.
Right.
Now here's the thing. I feel like you put a lot of responsibility on the family, and I understand why, but we're talking about a guy that has no prior record, right? There's been no one that's come forward talking about.
Not yet, but
you know what? When this situation happens, I'm pretty sure the first thing the police did was pull his record to see, okay, does he have anything that would point to some type of, you know, foul play?
But then you have, well, you have the incident that happened on the 12th when you pull up the 911 call, and you hear about the abuse that took place. So you have an incident. I mean, granted, they had.
Who hasn't had an argument with their girl?
Conflicting information.
No, I got you. But at the end of the day,
confirming that she was the aggressor.
Absolutely, but in law enforcement, you're trained to know what the abused does. They take the blame. They take the full of blame, and you can just. I don't know, man. He was too charismatic. He was too comfortable.
Let me just say this. Years ago, I was with my ex-wife. We was having an argument about something.
Okay. Right?
And it got really heated, but it was her grabbing my shirt.
Yeah.
Right? Her mom called the popo on me.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, my wife could have been like, he was doing this to me, I was doing that, but that's not what happened. She was just grabbing my shirt because she was mad at me because I ain't want to do something for her or whatever.
Yeah.
But the thing is this, the grandmother called the popo. Popo came. It looked really bad, but it wasn't as bad as it seemed, though. And my point is, because it had a situation, it's not as bad as it always seems.
It's not as bad as it seems, but I'm saying you have, as far as, you have an incident that was highly,
it's emotional, right?
Yeah, but it was physical. So it could have been motive that, okay, either if it was self-defense or whatnot, she put her hands on him, what was said, right? You can see the blood marks or whatever the case may be, that something physical took place on August the 12th, right?
Okay.
And then you had a witness that said it was a different vice versa, that it was him on the recording. At the end of the day, I'm saying two people went and they left in a volatile state, right? When they left, okay, from Utah, Moab, they were messaging. She was messaging her family saying, hey, we're going to Yosemite. Where were they going? I forgot where they're going. She said they were Yellowstone. I think that she texted her mom one of the last text messages that she mentioned they were going to go. And then all of a sudden, no more texts. Last update was from that. But you're talking about two people being, and they said, hey, it's elevating our patience for one another. We are fighting, bickering all the time.
That's
because
why they separated them.
No, except for a night. No, for a night.
You had two people that got out the vehicle, both took ownership. One said, you know what? I suffer with high anxiety. I have OCD.
Yeah.
You know what? I was getting at him. I was being the aggressor. You got the other guy that comes out the car and says, look, man, we're good here. We don't need to proceed with this. There's no charges or anything that needs to be pressed. And you know what? For that moment, some cops would have been like, all right, you know what? Go ahead. They separated the two of them, which I still think was the right call based on what they had there. And ultimately, things went south, but based on the information they had and, you know, the way the two people reacted to the stop, that made sense to me. Like, it's easy to say, well, you know.
Well, there's this discretion. You can have discretion for certain things.
You could have taken one of them to jail.
That's a judgment call.
But it's a judgment call. And you know what? I can't really put that on the responding officers because, again, it's a judgment call. I know someone that literally went to drop their kids off somewhere.
Yeah.
Them and their significant other got into an argument. He gets aggressive.
Yeah.
Gets in her face. She, trying to get out of the way because she was trying to leave.
Yeah.
He was in his way. She pushes him out of the way so she could leave. The cops show up at her house at like 1 or 2 in the morning and arrest her.
Oh, wow.
Because he called and said that, you know what, she put hands on me. And she's there trying to explain, like, I was trying to leave. He was blocking me. I literally pushed him out of the way so I could get out of the house.
Yeah.
And they're basically like, well, you know, based on law, whenever we get one of these calls, it doesn't matter. Regardless, we've got to take the person in. And because, you know what, the call was placed by him, we got to take you in. And literally, she spent a night in jail for a situation that all she was trying to do was leave. Mm. And he was the actual aggressor. So what I'm saying is,
he's a punk.
Our laws haven't quite figured it out. And on some level, you got to have like just judgment involved. And the truth is, we can say, well, yeah, if they had taken one of them down, things might have worked out differently. Maybe. But who was going to bail her out? Him. Right?
Nah, the father would have bailed him out. I don't think they had money like that.
The father was all the way back here. More than likely was going to be him.
Nah.
Down there and bailed her out. And the truth is, I don't even know she would have needed to be bailed out. But more than likely, he was going to be the one to pick her up the next day anyway. That's a fact. Why would the father fly all the way from, what, Florida, I think, out there?
No, the father's in New York.
Okay, so all the way from New York out there to pick her up when he's right there. More than likely, he was going to be there to pick her up anyway. So I get all of this. It's easy to point fingers, like, well, this should have happened here, that should have happened there. I 100% agree. The whole thing looks suspect. You know,
no, it absolutely does. I just think that they had more reason to push in on 9/11 when she was missing for 10 days, and he came. They went on a trip together, and he came home with the van. And I think the authorities had more, you know, to bring him in for questioning. I don't think he should have ever had the opportunity. He could have came in with his lawyer, but I think they should. They had more reason to apprehend him and bring him in for questioning, because there's a point where you can. You can have a lawyer, but you can bring him in with his lawyer for questioning.
But you have to have
and not just have him, because he's the suspect. He's the last person.
We got laws, Reggie.
I was about to say,
but he's the last person.
Someone and hold him.
No, I ain't saying
because you got laws, you know, man. What? He was the last person on the scene. You got to be able to show and prove on some level.
I got you, but I'm gonna go ahead and
This isn't like on TV, bro.
No, it's not on TV, bro. I'm not trying to tell you. There is laws, but yo, he's the last person to see. Agreed. He's the suspect. And he's not the person of interest. He's a suspect.
He's the person. Well, to date, they still view him as
Where's the evidence at?
Well, let me, but I'm going to go ahead and play something for you guys, because I want you to hear the OG, John Walsh, on his take on this. John Walsh. Isn't it Walsh? No, it's not Walsh, right? John Walsh. All right, get his take on it and hear what he says, because he goes into more details and stuff, and then you guys can come to a conclusion as far as him bringing more facts up with it. So I can play this for you guys.
His old booty
haters. Ray, what was that? I'm gonna retract that. I'm gonna retract that. What the heck? I'm gonna
have to. That dude's so old.
Yeah, but you were talking about his butt and stuff, man. That was weird. That was weird. Jeff, that was weird as hell. He's old. What? Okay.
No comment.
Yeah, no. That was weird, Ray. We're going to talk about that off here.
He's basically made his life's passion and work on that. He's the host of Investigation Discovery's In Pursuit with John Walsh. In just 3 seasons, John has helped capture 26 fugitives and find 8 missing children and about 1,400 throughout his career. The question, listen, he's not officially a fugitive. He's not officially charged. But John Walsh, do you think you might be able to help catch number 27, Brian Laundrie?
Well, that's the reason I'm talking to you, Ashley, and it's a pleasure to talk to you. You used to work for me, one of the best reporters I ever had, and wish you well on your new gig. But I've always said, and I've been saying it for days, this is a homicide. This dirtbag is out there. I don't know how he got out of the house with the FBI and local cops watching him day and night. And, you know, this semantic BS about person of interest and the old
facts. I mean, facts. They were watching this guy. Facts. Yeah. How did he get out?
Didn't matter if they was watching him. They technically have no.
But they didn't follow him. But why did they not follow him?
Even if they followed him, Reg, they had no cause to stop that man from moving how
he okay, he can move all he wanted to move. He's going to move with a buddy system with someone following him. I understand what he's saying. Like, if we're on that level and you're getting national attention on this, you should have someone follow. If the FBI is involved as well,
national attention
somebody should have told them though.
Someone should have told them, right? Exactly.
Somebody should have told them. Even if he's a person of interest, they don't have anything on him. They still need to have
someone following that dude.
National attention.
Trying to build evidence. Try to get him.
He may be guilty, but national attention does not dictate guilt.
All right.
I can tell you what though. They arrest people for less.
Oh, exactly. And they follow people for less. Exactly.
You know what I want to say, right? I got two comments I want to throw out there, but you know what? We gonna keep it light.
All right. I'm gonna keep it playing. So I want to see if it changes. It alters what you guys think, because Ray just saying, hey, they should have been tailing him. You said, no, let that man go anywhere.
I said they could tail him all they want, but they can't prevent him from
moving. No, that's what I'm saying. They should have been following. Right. That's all. Okay. All right. We'll keep playing.
Somebody should have been tailing
him. Yeah, absolutely.
We used to call it the suspect. Now, there's only one suspect. There were no other persons of interest, no other suspects. How did he get out? How did the FBI and the local cops let the main suspect get away? All I had to do is put a deputy sheriff in the front street, a deputy sheriff in the back street. They wouldn't have had to search a swamp. And what the family is doing to Gabby's family, what Brian's family, the dirty laundries, and believe me, they are dirty, when they haven't cooperated. This girl used to live in their house. She was engaged to their son. Their son meandered back from a 4 month trip and parked a Winnebago, her Winnebago, not his, her van, not Winnebago, her van in the driveway for 10 days. So he had 10 days to scrub that. I don't know what the hell the FBI waited so long to get in there, but he had 10 days to clean the house out. He had 10 days to scrub the van. And then finally, the parents went, how could Brian not tell us that he didn't bring her home? How did his parents, how did the dirty laundries not have the guts to tell us? So they filed a missing persons report, and then they clam up. He lawyers up, they clam up. And think of the gall of this. Last Friday, their famous Johnny Cochran-style lawyer, Bertolino, calls the police and says, oh, the Landrys want to help you out now. On Tuesday, Brian went to a swamp that was nearby, and we were so worried about him that we went and found the car and put a note in it and said, dear Brian, don't hurt yourself. And then we brought the car back ourselves on Thursday, and then we called you on Friday. We didn't help you at all in the beginning, but now Brian's gone. Well, you know what they did? They bought their son 4 extra days. They bought him.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
So do you see why I believe they're more involved than they claim?
So
or not claim because they're not saying anything, right?
So John Walsh is, you know, he's got all kind of credibility, you know, what he's done as far as that show he used to have back in the day, America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that he didn't have any FBI contacts or contacts at all. Why he didn't make a phone call or something? I mean, I get, you know, he's making these comments like that and all, but I mean, I don't think he's being helpful right now.
No, thank you, yeah, thank you. He's not this, being helpful. This feels like shock nonsense. Like this feels like laundries and the Cochran style. Like at the end of the day, is that helping his family either? No. Is that helping her family?
No, but he's bringing the facts. He's just bringing facts.
No, he's not. Where's the
facts at?
He's mimed in with
Where's the facts?
Okay, but he just mentioned what happened. What happened with
we already knew that.
Like, you knew you didn't know about him going to the thing, leaving a note, and then picking up the car, and then contacting him on Friday
he's missing somebody now. Somebody moved the car outside of him because one of the neighbors confirmed that the car was there from, I forgot what day it was. So I knew someone else moved the car.
Well, I'm talking about him
the question is this, though.
What's up?
If what he is doing is so crazy and wrong, why hasn't the police done anything about it?
Okay, well, I'm going to keep playing it.
Must be something legal, though.
I'm going to keep playing it.
Keep playing it,
all right, Let my boy speak real quick. All right. Okay. All right, guys. This is what I'm trying to say.
Found the car and put a note in it and said, dear Brian, don't hurt yourself. And then we brought the car back ourselves on Thursday. And then we called you on Friday. We didn't help you at all in the beginning. But now Brian's gone. Well, you know what they did? They bought their son 4 extra days. They bought him 4 days to get a head start. So this Wednesday night, I'm going to focus in on Brian. He's going to be the top of the show on In Pursuit. And as you said, Ashley, I know one thing all these years. Lots exactly. of people don't want to call the cops. They don't want to call the FBI.
Oh, that's what it's about? Wow.
What's the show
called? Did he not plug himself?
He's going to put him on Pursuit, right? In the Pursuit to get him. What are you talking about?
He's already on Pursuit. Everybody's looking for him. His show on Wednesday is going.
You guys just asked him to help. He's helping.
I didn't ask him to do anything.
Wow.
Why don't we get him on this podcast?
Right. Let me go finish and play this.
About the dirty laundries. At the end of the Lord. Day,
he doesn't care about that family.
I 100% agree. The family was not forthcoming, right? I don't think there is a disagreement between the three of us on that. What I am saying is,
okay,
what we would like to see from a moral standpoint as one set of parents to the next, they have not practiced that. And they probably haven't practiced that because at this point it's about, you know what, I'm trying to protect my child.
It's a legal issue.
Because we don't know what details he shared with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He is the number one suspect, and he very well could have done wrong. But you know what? There is the slight chance that maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he didn't make good decisions, but you know what? He didn't do it. And if he didn't do it, think about how bad this looks. You know what I'm saying?
How bad does it look that he flees? You got to look at it from that perspective as well. It looks guilty. It looks guilty, right?
It looks messed up, but you know what does happen? By him leaving there, he doesn't draw that huge, ridiculous crowd that's bound to form in front of the house. That may be happening
anyway.
It's still
going to happen anyway.
But you know what? I'm pretty sure it's at a much lower scale than it would have been if he was there staying. And the other thing is, we are assuming that he's guilty because he was the last one in contact, and his movements are shady, to say the least. But I can tell you this. I have been in situations, and I have been with females who can be aggressive and handsy. And you know what? I have, in past, picked up and be like, yo, you know what? You are tripping. I'm out. And I've left. And I've left them on the scene. I haven't taken the car. I excused myself. So that's that move was a little different. Like, I'm leaving you out here. I'm taking the car. I'm taking everything else. But I have, because in those instances, the best thing for me and actually for us was to remove myself from the equation. So we don't know what took place. You know what I'm saying? But I agree. It doesn't look good. I agree. More than likely, we're going to find out.
Well, I said homicide. The coroner said homicide.
Right. But it doesn't mean that he's the one that killed her.
Who killed her?
If he left her out, who knows where, out in the woods somewhere, you believe he's the only one that has the ability to kill? We're all capable of killing. I'm not defending this man.
On the 27th, because on the 27th, or his car, the last text message that was sent to her, sent out to her, which was, oh, tell Stan he needs help, which another YouTuber, another YouTuber or one of these social media people were saying that it's referenced to Stan, the song by Eminem. And it was like, oh, tell Stan he needs help. I keep leaving voicemails and no answer. That's, I think it's one of the lyrics. They're saying either he put it in there, referring, because they thought it was the grandfather, but they said maybe it's referenced to the Stan song where he killed the girlfriend and had her in the trunk or something like that.
Who sent that text? He sent that text?
He sent a text. I mean, because it's alleged that he sent a text. And he was like, oh, tell Stan, help Stan because he keeps calling me, or I keep calling him, giving voicemails.
You do know Stan was in love with Eminem, right?
Yeah, Stan was in love with Eminem. But Stan, they were referenced, they were like, oh, that's her grandfather. So why would she call her grandfather Stan? But then another YouTuber says about a crime, that has a crime thing saying, but those are the lyrics in Stan. And Stan had to do with, you know, how he killed his...
But I don't understand what that text message has to do with anything, though.
Well, they're saying that he was texting the mother, and that was not her, saying about the grandfather. Saying the grandfather's name is Stan, but she calls the grandfather granddad or grandpa. But it was like, hey, can you help Stan? He keeps calling me, or I keep calling him, leaving voicemails or something to that nature. The text message.
So the text message was sent from her phone, is what you're saying.
Her phone.
Okay, because you said he sent it. So
well, like, they're saying that he sent it because she doesn't call the grandfather Stan.
Okay.
She goes to grandfather, grandpa, or whatever the case may be, whatever the terminology is in their household, in their family. So it was weird to call him by his first name. But this is what drew the red flag. So another YouTuber, and this is why I say social media is becoming a huge part of this discovery, is because there's other people that live this van life. And I thought, like you said before, I think the van life is awesome. I thought about those conversion things, turning a van and the coolest things that they do with these vans, man, put beds and put TVs in there, refrigerators. You've seen those, right? Yeah. The van life that they call it. It's really cool. Even convert the old school buses and stuff.
I got a friend that did that.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the awesome things. So they have people that do the YouTubes and the travel with families. So someone had the GoPro that was just looping, was just recording, didn't know it was off.
Oh, yeah.
They drove by.
Yes.
And this is how they pinpointed that he was there. In Pinton, Tinton, or Teton. Teton's a pronunciation for it. At that campsite, whatever, because her van was there. And as soon as they're pulling up, you see the van door closing in the back. So that was the day, basically, that he left her. I mean, that was when... So he was there with her. So he didn't, like, leave her deserted. It was like, whenever the autopsy says, you know, determines how long she's been dead, they can determine how long weeks back, because he was basically at the proximity with the van because it was on him driving, and you know, determined that he was not far from, you know, he basically was location where the body was, because that's where the body was found.
Based on that GoPro that kept going,
they caught him, and someone closing the van. Yep. So
somebody who's in the same van life thing.
No, it was her. It's her van. They identified because they had the stickers and everything.
No, yeah.
Oh, someone that was in the YouTuber. Doing what she does. Uh-huh. Then he had another YouTuber. So this is crazy. On the 29th of August, I believe, right before he went back for the van or whatever the case may be, he said he was trucking. He found another YouTuber or TikToker, and they were like, hey, him and the family or a girlfriend and boyfriend were, he asked him for a ride.
We hitchhiked, right?
And, John Walsh mentioned too. He mentions, and it made sense. He's like, he offers them, they're going to Jackson. He said, hey, you know, I'm trying to get a ride to Jackson. Yeah, we're going to Jackson too. They call it something different, but he said, I'll give you $200. And I was like, why would he say that? You know, they thought it was ridiculous. $200 because I've been hitchhiking. My girlfriend's back there. She's blogging. She's editing the video. You know, I left her for a couple of days. I've been staying out in the wilderness, you know, camping. And they looked at him, you know, he's clean. He doesn't like he's been hitchhiking. And they mentioned they're going to this part of Jackson. And John Walsh says it. I can play it for you guys. And they mentioned a different name it's called. He says, stop the car, let me out. He thought they were going elsewhere, but they were going exactly where he wanted to go. But he got out and he left and went to go. He got hitchhiked with someone else or picked up by someone else. But the reason he mentioned $200 is because it's going to stick out of your mind to build an alibi. Like, now you're going to remember, I asked you and I told you I was camping and I left my girlfriend with the car. And she was blogging, editing. So it all makes sense until he has to, it doesn't work out for him where he's trying to go without the van and trying to, so to me, it almost seemed like he was trying to pin her with the van, that I left her by herself with the van. You guys saw me, until it didn't work out the way he thought it would. And now he had to go back for the retrieve the van and drive home with the van.
A good lawyer would call that speculation.
No, I get all that. The good lawyer would call it speculation. But my point is, social media is playing a huge part in this, in this, as far as picking the pieces, that whatever story he comes up with, it's going to be destroyed.
I'm so nervous about that.
Well,
about people who think they're lawyers.
Everybody's checked in on, like, his story's going to be destroyed. It'll be interesting to see what the autopsy turns up, because what if the autopsy turns up that, you know what, she was dead for only 3 days and he's been home that long? You know what I'm saying? And again, I'm not defending this guy. I am also not at a place where, you know what, it's trial by public. And
my public opinion, I got you.
And you know what, as New Yorkers, as ex-New Yorkers, you know, we're suspect of everyone. So I can tell you with certainty,
yeah,
this story does not make sense, right? This whole thing is super fishy.
Yeah.
The time frames, him coming home, you know,
Not being forthcoming.
No one seeming to look for this girl. Like, the whole thing is weird. What is not weird to me, and I think this is where we disagree, is the family not saying anything. You know, that makes sense to me. They're trying to protect their child. You know, right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, we were raised different. If that was us, our mother's going to the precinct.
Yeah, exactly.
And be like, yo, come get him.
Yeah, exactly. Come get him to talk to you. He's going to talk to you. He's going to help you find that child, that woman's baby. Exactly.
Nobody going to no swamp or exactly. park to write exactly. a note and pick up the car. We are not getting that, okay? They are actually going to go down to OPD and be like, yo, I know where he's at right now.
Exactly.
I know, because no one just calls a lawyer.
Absolutely.
You just don't call a lawyer.
Well, hey, your girlfriend's missing.
You know what?
Something had to be said for them to call that lawyer, though.
But I think maybe it wasn't such a big deal, but as more time went by and this girl still wasn't turning up, they was like, yo, this is bad. And you know what? Then it's like, maybe we need to get a lawyer involved. Maybe. I could see that happening, because it's like, people are asking questions. The police wants us to provide a statement. They want him to go down. Whatever he says, knowing that it could potentially be used against him, if you have the means. So think about it. Like, we sometimes think of lawyers and it maybe feels a little out of reach, because we know it's costly, depending on your lifestyle and, you know what, your financial profile. A lawyer's just, you know, one of many resources you have available to you. Okay. I don't know these folks. I don't know if they're well to do or not. But even if they're not, I know that that situation looked bad. It looked bad when he showed up without her. And with each passing day, I'm pretty sure it only looked worse, you know? And so with the police buzzing, the FBI on the scene, people outside of your house, a family calling, requesting information, what is your smart move? If you're smart, the very first thing you do is like, let me seek legal counsel. Again, there's a difference between what you do to legally protect yourself and what you do as far as like moral obligation, like the correct thing to do, you know, morally. But that actually makes sense to me.
Yeah, the thing is too, though, we kind of been through this before. When I say that, that's like with TV, social media, there's been, remember, Crime TV, True TV. There was a station that only had stuff about court stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty popular at one time. I mean, super popular. And so they had all these big cases in the past as far as like missing wives or missing children.
Mm-hmm.
And people have learned from that, from watching those shows. You got to lawyer up.
You do not incriminate yourself.
Yes.
That's it.
You cannot.
If he's wrong, he's making the right choice because he's trying to protect himself. And if he's not wrong, then he's damn sure making the right choice to try and protect himself. Either way, you know what? You lawyer up.
And people just always feel like, you know, tell the truth. Just be honest. And it'll set you free.
Yeah.
It can send you to jail.
And not only that, but keep in mind, we're also seeing a trend now of a lot of people that have been put behind bars, and you're finding out after the fact because they didn't have proper representation. You know what? They were their words or the information was fabricated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Because they were dealing with, you know, maybe some public defender. No knock on my public defenders. We love you. But you know what? It was a game changer. I mean, one of our last shows, we covered that, right?
Sean K. Ellis.
At this point, if you have the means, then you know what? You protect yourself. And I agree with you, Reg. When all is said and done, will I be surprised if it comes out and they link him to it? Heck no. I'm just saying the family silence, though shady and grimy, it makes sense to me. And your boy over there, I'm not knocking his reputation for tracking down, you know, potential killers and his success rate. I'm just saying I don't like the way he went about it, and it just, that in itself also feels very shock jock grimy.
Tune in on
Wednesday, where, you know what, we're gonna make him our
in pursuit
site. Yeah, like
commercial,
like again. Wow. You know, he's gotta eat too, but like you, do I really believe it's about the well-being of the family? It may be, but I really feel like first and foremost, it's about him.
He's informative, and he's got history, and he knows what he's talking about. But at the same time,
well, he can relate to the family. He had a son that was kidnapped and killed.
I'm well aware.
Why he's knocking that?
I'm well aware of that, but that doesn't sound like he's.
That sounds self-serving to me.
It does. Very self-serving.
We don't have to agree.
Okay, John, not only is there dirty laundry, but there's dirty laundry here on the Bro Rant set.
But we'll have you on the show to clear this
up. Well, thank you. Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure the family's thankful to have him. And if I was her family, I'd want that dude. You know, I want someone that's going to ruffle feathers and, you know, call into question the practices and procedures that was implemented. So I get that. But are you going to believe me? Are you going to lead me to believe that it is solely about the well-being of the family? Nah.
He's not.
Wow.
At least I didn't feel that way.
You guys are so tainted. On a better note, let's go leave it on a lighter note. Big Brother. Have you guys, I know I mentioned this to you guys. History has been making on Big Brother, man. Talk about, it will definitely have a person of color, a black person will be winning Big Brother, which is unreal. I mean, I think it's been 17 seasons. 20 plus seasons, and it hasn't been won. It, just like the horror movies, they've been first to go.
Why are they called the cookout?
Oh, they came up with that.
Why'd they pick that?
Because black people have cookouts.
I liked it too.
They should have said Wakanda Forever.
At first, I was like, "Huh?" But
made sense.
The more, because the thing is, I'm not really a Big Brother fan, right?
And gotcha.
No knock on it. I think the show is cool. It's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, yeah.
But the more I read up on it, and I read up on them, and I watched the videos and stuff. I kind of dug it.
Yo, it was really cool. But the history that they made is not just, okay, a black person's going to definitely win it. It's the fact that they were Alliance of Six from day one, and no one's ever done
from
that.
From out the gate.
From six members of the Alliance making. The Alliance, they made an alliance from day one. There's never been an alliance in Big Brother that all of them made it.
From day one.
Yeah. Day one. And Big Brother changed the rules. So it's not like they were working with the same system or how it's normally played. They were like, no, we partner up. You guys are partnered up. You have to pick your teams like in basketball. Here's your captain. Your captain picks your teammates. And that's how they did it. They were on separate teams. So what they did was genius. They used their teammates that they were paired with as buffers. So they were loyal to the cookout, but they were also loyal working with their teams they were with. And
the fact
that, well executed, that people didn't even know what was happening. Like, right. Dude, it was so ingenious. Like, they didn't pose as a threat because it never was, right? Because it was to the point where the Asian guy, which was funny, I called him, his name was Derek as well. I forgot, was it Derek C or something, but he was on there. He was a great player. I liked him. Kate and I liked him.
And did you watch the show as it was going?
Oh, absolutely. I was like, oh, let's watch this. And all of a sudden, we were like glued to it. And we're like, oh, this is really cool. He was like, oh, man, are there any more, white guys on the show? Like, because they're at that point, they were being there. They were out. And then it got to the point, I'm like, these people, because they're
slowly putting it together.
No, not even slowly putting it together. It's the fact that they looked and they were like, not seeing that, yo, there's a majority now in this house, and you don't see what the ethnicity is, because you don't ever pose it as a threat. You're like, hey, this is never what you don't. And all of a sudden, like, hey, one girl mentioned, I think she's Hispanic. She's Hispanic, and she was a swimsuit. She's from Florida, and she's a swimsuit.
She was the last one that got up.
Yeah.
Was she the one that was like, well, if you go home, I mean, technically,
yes, you'll be the last white person. You're the white person. If you think of me, you're the last white person. And the lawyer guy, Xavier, was like, yo, what are you doing? Alyssa, her name is Alyssa. He's like, what are you doing? Like, you were going to be in Final Seven, but now you're trying to put that in her head. She's going to figure out. Dude, it's like you have six black people and you have two white people. And you have one Hispanic. But they don't see that because they don't pose as a threat, because it's just...
They had to see something, though.
They did not.
Probably.
When you go to the jury...
They played it well. Bro,
they were like, this is genius. They were like, hold on. They were like, what happened? And they're sitting in a jury, and of course, they relieve it when they... So they go in the jury house, the last... I think the last four or six people to get booted out go to the jury house. So they get to see... They get to know how the game's being played because they all reveal and talk to each other. Not the ones get sent out earlier, they go home. So they just watch it from TV. So they were like, yo. And they were comparing notes, and they were like, yo, I think these people are in alliance, and they still didn't put it together. And they were like, and then the other person comes in from the jury, from being booted out, and they're like, no, this, and they still didn't put it together. And they were like, okay, wait. So they're like, oh, Keelan and Sarah, they're old teammates. So they were like, yeah, but she went home. And then boom, and then they went home. They go, oh, shoot. Yo, they went up with their partners and they used them as buffers and they went home. Oh, shoot, this is ingenious. They're like, I can't even be mad, because then they explained why. And one of the reasons was they were like, hey, the pact they made was, no matter what, we're not going to vote each other out. They said, I don't care how it gets. We're not going to vote each other out because this is bigger than us.
Right.
So the beauty of it was like, yo, even the people that they partnered up with that they sent home, they were like, I can't even get mad at you, because in history there's never been a Big Brother winner that was black. And you guys are doing it for a bigger purpose. So one of the moments I loved was the contestant, the player Tiffany. So she had a chance to break the rule and worry about her own game. A lot of them had the time to do that, but she was like, had the opportunity to do it. And she was like, her partner that she rolled, there was a girl partner. She was the last white woman that was there. And she was telling her, she was like, she had a chance to put her, she won HOA, which you get to put up who you want to evict. She could have put her, whoever up. And she was like, because the plan was, they told me, hey, you got to put your partner up. And she was like, she was trying to send someone else home for her own game. And then she was like, damn, all right, I'm going to have to put her up. And she told her straight up. She was like, listen, I'm going to have to talk to you. She was like, yeah, what's up? What's up? She goes, I'm going to have to put you up. And she goes, why? She goes, I made myself a promise that I was going to come here. I was never going to. And I saw these faces. I was like, I'm not going to put a black person up. And she was like, yo, the girl cried and was like, no, I understand. I understand. She freaked out from a machine. She said, no, I understand. She was like, listen, I can't do it. I that's my promise. Yo, I'm so, there's been so much moments that I'm like, dude, you know, it touches you like, whoa. And just to see what
unity,
if we can do that in unity. A game, what we can do in society, what we're capable of just doing things on that level, putting the bigger picture ahead instead of oneself, what we talked about before. Anyway, man, I just thought it was the best strategic Big Brother I've seen that I've watched. So, I mean, one of the, you know what I'm saying? And it was done with integrity. That's, if you look at this, you see the backslide. Yo, this Big Brother was done with integrity. Like, you can't even be mad. You're like, oh, shoot, man. Like, I want this person to win, this person to win. You're like, all these people deserve it because, bro, they played for each other. And it was like, can't even make this up. But, you know, that was...
I may tune into season just to kind of see how it
just
played out.
Just watch it. Yo, watch it. Just go back and watch it. You'd be like, whoa. It's unreal. You'd be like, damn. Yo, these people are really sticking to the plan. Like, they really... they can actually take this and whatever. No, they're not. Yo, they're making sure they...
Who do you believe is going to win it now, though, out of all the six left?
It's either going to be Xavier, which is the lawyer, or Kylan, which he's been a beast winning it. Xavier, he's a lawyer. He's
ball-headed one?
Yeah, he's the one that's been sitting back, like the mastermind, uh-huh. Like been throwing competitions. Yeah, Kalen's been the one winning it, and he's like, yo, Kalen told Xavier, right, that he was like, look, I want to be in with you because I want to be going up against the best. For the final two when they make the decision. I don't want to go with someone that I can beat. I want to go with someone that I can potentially lose to. That's the integrity of the game that I'm saying. They're not saying I want to go against the weak person. No, I want to go against someone that deserves to be sitting at the last two. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I you know, either one could win. I actually kind of hope Kylan wins because he's earned it, man. He's literally kept his integrity the whole time.
Why do you love Big Brother so much?
I wouldn't say I love Big Brother so much. But like it because...
Hold on. You said you don't love it, right?
I don't love it. I mean...
How many seasons have you watched?
I watched here and there. So, I mean, I would say Kay and I probably watched like 12, 14 seasons, maybe.
You watched 12 to 14 seasons and you don't love it?
No, I would say love because this season I can say I love this season because they made things different. They mixed things up. So it was completely different. They kept the same formula, and I was like, come on, everyone's going to do this. Everyone creates a clique in the beginning. So this forced them to make the cliques for themselves. Like, they made them, forced them to make a clique, and stick to the clique because subconsciously, people, even though they created the teams for them,
yep.
They broke the teams up by week two or three, right? The dominant teams, and people, by habit of environment, they stick who they're with. So they end up sticking with who they're with.
It's 12 to 14 seasons. Is that... How many years is that?
14 years.
12 to 14 years. Yes, sir. How many years you been going to LA Fitness?
I don't know, brother. Why?
When that minute, though, right?
I don't know. I have no clue. How long I've been going to LA Fitness?
It opened up in 2016, so.
16? 2016 it opened?
2016.
Oh, wow. Okay. So.
Okay. You love it, bro.
Oh, my God.
I'm about to say.
You love it.
You love it, bro.
I'm
about to say,
but maybe you're not going to use the word love, but you're definitely vested. There's no
doubt. Well, hey, it's
And there's no knock on that. Like, listen, you know,
there's different things. I can say what I love. I can say what I like. And I can say I truly like it. I didn't say I love it because there's things about it I would change. This season I said I love because they mixed it up and they made it.
What kind of forever?
Not even kind of forever. They just made it interesting, and that was just a bonus on top of it. You know, I like to see, you know, I think it showed people that yo, black people can be a threat too in a strategic, mental game. That it doesn't also have to be physical. Like, you strategically have to like play this game mentally. To be a social game.
Have they had this many black people on the show before?
No, it's always been one person.
That's what I was about to say. I think that was that.
No, but I understand that's the difference. But my point is, they've always been out. They've always been outed. They've been the first to go, the second to go. Right, like in a horror film.
Been one. Because it was they were like significantly outnumbered.
Significantly outnumbered, but it was they were not. What were they seen as? Society saw them as what? That played in that house as insignificant.
Because there were only one.
Right. No, but you're missing the point. In a thing, in a world where they tell you this is not about color, and you're in a big brother house, right? Or even if there was one or two, maybe, sometimes there's a girl that's mixed or whatever, or whatever the case may be. They just show them how insignificant they are.
If we go to a basketball court, go to a basketball court and there's 11 people, 10 blacks and one white, on the average, the white person calling next.
Yeah, but I'm not, no, it depends on how, whatever they are. But my point is, how did they see him exactly? Like, oh, this is physical and mental, but they saw him as insignificant. So color shouldn't play a part of that, but it was.
It just happens like that.
I guess I'll approach it from a different angle. Would the cookout have had the same success had they not had numbers? No.
No, I mean, no. But listen.
Yes or no?
I'll tell you right now. The cookout's been with different ethnicities. My point is this. The cookout worked because of loyalty, because they've been alliances that started from one. No. My whole point was, I'm not talking about just color. I'm talking about what they've done was history, because they've been a day one ride or die alliance that people have done, and they've cut each other's. I'm talking about people have cut it each other's different ethnicities. No, cut each other. I'm talking about as far as the success of the group, period, it's never been done.
Right. But what I'm trying to say is the success also speaks to the numbers.
I understand with the numbers what you're saying as far as them getting, but they had opportunities to destroy each other, and they didn't. But a lot of people that have been in that predicament
has destroyed each other. That happened because, you know what, they identify with each other on a different level, and ultimately because they had that numbers and they had an understanding, you know what, I think that's what carried forth that loyalty. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to diminish anything that you're saying.
This dude is killing everything I'm saying today.
I'm just speaking at it from... And here's the thing. Here is why I say it's important, right? It's important to celebrate this.
Yeah.
Because you know what? It spoke to unity.
Mm-hmm.
It spoke to loyalty. And it spoke to integrity.
Yeah.
And I think that regardless of your background, your color, your upbringing, you can appreciate those qualities, right?
All right,
and
absolutely. You can
learn from them. That said, if they didn't have that grouping, let's say it was, I don't know what the starting number is, but let's say it was a variation, a group, and you still had six people come together. You've watched the show enough time. How many times do people come together and pledge a promise to one another and they end up breaking it when they have that opportunity? In that instance, I feel like the glue was the fact that, you know what, there was like some type of ethnic background and they understood, like, you know what, this is bigger than us. And I think that is ultimately what led to the success, but you need to have the numbers to be able to pull that off. That's one. And two, to support why I believe that theory to be true, you've been watching it for a couple of years. This is season 23.
I believe. I'm not sure.
And this is going to be the first time in 23 seasons that you've had a person of color potentially win. I think those numbers speak for themselves.
Not potentially win, going to win, because they have the number.
That's going to win. Yeah. And it took a group effort to make that happen.
That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, what they did was super impressive. But what's even crazier is the fact that it literally took a group effort.
Yep, exactly.
To make it happen.
Pretty much, nuts.
Well, I hope that this cookout isn't what America sees, what it takes for America to see that black people can be united and loyal.
No, I think it's a good thing to see.
No, that's a good thing.
What I'm saying is I hope that they don't see it due to the fact we had six people united on Big Brother.
Well, I think they're going to see it. You know why? Because, again, like we talked about social media, this is something that a camera sees, documents, and they see the integrity each and every day. So it's not like, oh, well, this happened. No, we saw it happen.
People calling out for, like, reverse racism or something like
that? Yes, they were.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
There was comments. There was comments of potential reverse racism.
Yes. This dude said, if there had been six white people, all and
It's all the time.
And they made it a group, and they voted out all the black people.
But they have. But it's always been one. It's happened. That's been the 23 seasons.
It's like, go back to the other 23 seasons.
Yeah, 22 seasons been that. So that's what the case been. It's just been one or two. But every time.
Pick a season and pull it up.
Exactly. Absolutely, brother. So that's what it's been.
Has any Asians won?
I think the issue was the collaboration.
So no Asians have won?
No.
What about people of
Hispanics?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. I don't know. I mean, don't hold me to it, but I don't believe so.
I think the issue is really not is the collaboration effort, which, you know, leaves people feeling some kind of way. But isn't that kind of part of the game? And you know, I guess for anyone that says, well, if this had been reversed, how would people feel? Well, I mean, it's been the case
the whole time.
You know, the collaboration effort looks a little different, but the vast majority of the people involved in the decision making definitely don't look like them. You know,
look like us. Exactly.
So isn't it essentially the same thing? So,
I mean,
it's a game. You know?
I mean, folks, no, it is on the show total.
I don't know. Maybe 16. I believe 16.
Has there ever been 6 Asians?
No.
What about 6 Hispanics?
I don't know. Been several Hispanics, maybe like 3 or something. I mean, there's been numbers. And I mean, that's normal.
Okay.
What are you doing, P.I.?
I'm just trying to get stats.
I know. You got to listen. But you do your hard research.
I'll tell you what, though. His questions make sense because now you have to wonder if Big Brother's going to revisit the format a little
bit. Well, they can. And they should. I think it should be equaled out. I think it should be like that because, hey, you know what? You are going to not nest up, but you're going to go to people that you look like, similar to you, or has the same background or culture as you. So it's definite. So like when they say the reverse race, it's not that. It's you know, just like a frat guy goes to someone that plays golf or you know that he can relate to. It's just. It has to be
that was
environment.
Human
no,
tendencies.
I'm saying it's environment. Why
racist.
Is it, you know, human what?
Human tendencies.
Hey, exactly. This dude.
That's why the jack got
no, I'm just saying. No, I golf. Said that golf. You said that. I said,
hey, yeah,
I'm
why
just
you
saying
golf, right?
Right. Well, we can say the brother played basketball. You know, just things like that. Yeah. No, I'm saying that. But whatever, man. Leaving on that good note that you guys ruined my good note. Matter of fact, Jeff.
No. Real talk. I think it's a huge accomplishment, and I don't watch the show, but it's enough to potentially get me to watch the show. So that's a plus, right?
You should have left off. Should have let off with that. Started with that. You wanted to mention something about what craze, Ray?
Oh my goodness!
Before we sign off here,
it's kind of well, it's not happening right now. Well, there is happening right now, but. There was something called the milk crate challenge where people would basically have these milk crates that we used to use back in the day for to hold milks and
basketball. If you're in New York, it was the basketball. Basketball hoop.
Bicycle rims, too. But anyway.
What?
Bicycle rims?
What?
For hoops?
Oh, bro, I thought you meant the crate where you were riding some crate.
That's what you said. Too.
I was like bro.
You ride a milk crate?
I was like, Flintstone, Fred Flintstone over here? Yo. Okay.
So, so there's this challenge called the milk crate challenge, back to that. And we would line up milk crates. It goes from 1 up to, I think, 6 levels. And you would have a contestant and be a person that would try to go across
an idiot.
Milk crates. And the way I found it is I follow a guy on Instagram called Filet.
Okay. Filet.
You ever heard of Filet?
Nah, man. We've eaten Filet.
Okay. Well, he breaks down like usually sports events in his own way. He's from New York.
Okay.
From New York, I want to say. Gotcha. But he breaks down sporting events in his own way. And then he had the milk crate challenge on there. And the way he breaks it down, it is super hilarious because you'll have, first, I think he had like homeless people back there, like homeless people. And they were like, trying to walk up this challenge up the crates or whatnot. And the thing about it is that there was no safety harness. There's no, like, support. It's just people walking up there with, like, boots on or, like, they'll walk up there, like, and trying to, like.
I think I saw one lady in heels, which was, like, super impressive.
Bro.
The thing is, it's so crazy.
What?
That people do this.
Mm-hmm.
And. Potentially, they can break their neck.
Yeah, they can hurt themselves pretty bad.
Die.
For what? For clout? for like, yo, I'm the milk crate king?
For clicks. Clout.
Yeah. For clicks.
Yeah. So what happens if you get the clicks? Hey, you're the milk crate king?
I don't know. But I love it, though.
I love it. Have you guys seen it?
I've seen it.
Yeah, I've seen the research, and I'm like,
And I cringe because
I'm like, why?
The aftermath of
I think I watched it for like 30 minutes straight, just laughing.
Oh my gosh, I don't like.
Well, you watch it. It's like a thousand ways to die. So you like you watch it. You're like, let's see, you know, what, how you get injured. What's up with this person? So you're literally glued to it. Like, okay, who's gonna? Right.
There's so much that can go wrong in that instance.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, they had one time, I had at least about 300 people out there watching, filming it. 300 people just watching this. And this dude went up to the top of the milk crates. And then he tried to make room so he can run down real fast. But usually when you get to the top step, that next step is the one that gets you every time.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you flip over and like pretty much hit your face on the crates.
Mm.
So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see?
Maybe one day we should do it in your backyard.
Nah, we're good. We're good, brother.
I'm good.
I'm good. You got more chances to get me on the pickleball court than have me doing some milk crate challenge.
Pickleball's pretty good, man.
Yeah, I know. I heard, yo, it's an old person sport.
I wasn't even going to address it. I'm like, wow.
Oh, my goodness. Take it
to pickleball?
Pickleball is really good, man.
Like, you know what? Then afterwards, we'll play a little shuffleboard.
Bingo. How about a little bingo?
Dude.
Oh, man.
Oh, Ray. No. So anyway, man, I think that's about it. I know you wanted to sign off and say a good memoriam for Michael K. Williams, right?
I definitely did, man. Like,
that was crazy. It was a drug overdose, right?
Drug overdose, yeah. He was such an exceptional actor, man. I don't know if you guys seen The Wire.
Yeah, I've seen The Wire. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, he played that part like Omar, man. And then for him to be a killer, like you said, and also to be a gay person.
Yeah, in the, what was that, country, Love Country Road.
Well, that was in The Wire as well. He was gay.
In The Water?
In The Wire. He was gay as well.
Oh, he was?
Uh-huh.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, he was. And also he played in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, he was Whitey.
Yeah.
Whitey in that, yeah.
And then you also know he was a backup dancer back in the day?
No, I did not know that.
That's how he began. That's how he got into the scene. He was a backup dancer.
Wow.
And then he got into a barroom fight. That's why he got slashed. That scar on his face.
Yeah.
So then he got stopped. Then he got stopped being picked up for backroom dancing. And then from that point on, he tried to act. And directors would want him because of his scar.
Wow.
To play a villain. So Tupac saw him, saw his picture, and said, I got to have him in my next movie. So his first movie was with Tupac.
Wow.
Nice.
What movie? Above the Rim, maybe?
No, it wasn't Above the Rim. It was...
not Poetic Justice.
It was before Poetic Justice. I had this remember earlier.
Juice?
No, it wasn't Juice. Well, we'll get back to that. But as he's looking it up real fast... But he also had a scene. He also had a calling by Martin Scorsese.
Mm-hmm.
He actually called him in to do. And he asked him to do three emotions. Give me. There we go.
Okay, so that was after. That was after Poetic Justice.
Was it after?
Mm-hmm. That was the late movies that Tupac did before he passed. I think the last three.
Mm-hmm. And so Martin Scorsese watched him and said he's a great actor.
Mm.
That's what made him. I really want to get into acting, like really hardcore.
Wow, he definitely had a sadness to him. You know what I mean? He had sadness in his eyes. He had he can play sad real good and angry.
You know, in The Wire, he was actually like going to like crack houses, getting drunk and getting high, and he would be passed out and not know, you know, who he was. He'll wake up and he gave his phone as collateral to get drugs. And then his people would be calling him, trying to find out where he's at. And he can't even answer his phone because he didn't have any money. And they would have his phone.
Was this for method acting? Is this for him to learn how it is to play the role?
No. He was addicted. No, he was...
Whoa, I didn't know, guys.
No.
I thought it was a method acting. I didn't know. Man, I didn't know.
That's what made it funny. It was genuine. Like, you weren't being funny.
Yo, because you were like,
I saw your face. And I'm like, are you really asking me?
He had a real addiction, man.
I knew he had addiction, but I didn't know that was the cause of the addiction. You know, like, hey, I got to play this crackhead on The Wire or something that happens to be... You know, I didn't know that, but...
No, he was really messed up, man. And then, like...
Yeah, I didn't know. I'm sorry, guys.
No, he just had demons, man. So
a lot of people do, man. I think we all have wrestled with demons and stuff like that, man. It's how we cope with it. Some of us, hey, it could be in an environment. You grew up, what, in inner city probably? Or
he grew up in New York.
In New York, exactly. So, you know, you have all that right down outside your front door or in your hallways or in your staircase. Jeff knows. It's just how it is if you're in an apartment complex, man. It's not hard. The coping mechanisms that they have for addicts or people, you know, they're convenient for that type of person as far as an addict in the inner cities. I don't know about now, but I know back in the days it was, because I know a lot of it's been gentrified, that gentrification's come in, so it's been more.
Bro, what's the last time you went to Brooklyn?
A long time ago.
It's been a while.
Last time I went to New York, I had
the Brooklyn you left is not the Brooklyn, especially that stretch where, you know, our grandmother used to live.
Yeah.
Where the Barclay station is.
Yeah.
Where the Barclay arena is now.
Yeah.
It's totally different now.
It is.
Bohemian.
It's when you go out there and
Soho.
You remember what it used to look like, and then you see you drive down that strip now, it's like, wow.
Really?
That's like, leave it at. It's wow. Like, well, I mean, some of the buildings and stuff is the same. There's definitely been some upgrades, but when you just kind of get a pulse for the people and what's going on out there, it just looks very different from, you know, what we grew up seeing.
I believe very, it. Very different. Yeah, I believe it. But that's what I'm saying. So back then, yeah, it was easy to get your fix, to get your coping mechanism, medicine, whether it be alcohol or whether it be drugs. I mean, so I can understand why it was easy for him to.
But could you imagine, though, he's doing one of the best shows on cable TV.
Doesn't matter, man.
And at the same time, he's living on this couch of his sister. Or.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's not making.
I mean, think about
it. Because he's spending all his money, right?
Yeah. And then
yeah.
The next night, he's down in a crack house.
Think about some out. Of these rappers that, you know what, like, mm-hmm. their CDs were starting to blow up, but they were still out there selling weight. Because, you know what, like, even though you're doing something, you kind of, it's like routine. You're conditioned to operate within the realm of what you know. You
that's
know
true.
What I'm saying? So
yeah, that's true.
It's good to see that he was able to turn that around. Like, it's crazy because anytime I've seen him in anything, he brings an energy to the screen.
He's good. He was a good actor.
There's no bypassing his presence. You know, if he's sharing a screen with someone, his energy, his approach, he owned it in every role I've ever seen him in. He just had a very commanding presence. He definitely will be missed.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. And yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, man. It's just one of those people you don't expect. You didn't expect. I mean, I didn't know his history. But you just didn't expect, because you're like, oh, dude, this dude was just on Love Country and he's in other stuff. And you're like, yeah, I just seen him on TV. And I think that's the thing that affects you the most when you see these people more as far as a successful actor. An actor you haven't seen in the limelight for a little bit, it's easier because you're like, okay, out of sight, out of mind. But someone that you're regularly seeing working as an actor, you're like, yo, he's successful. Whoa. Then it kind of hits you almost like a relative in a sense, but not on that level. But obviously, because you feel like you've known the person I'm seeing all the time. I'm watching on TV. So, yeah, man. So, hey, rest in peace, Michael K. Williams.
Mm-hmm. Rest in power, brother.
Yeah, definitely, Michael Kenneth Williams.
Yeah, and the other brother, too.
What, A.J. Johnson?
Smokey! Yeah. Rest in peace as well, man. And that's it, man. Like I said, you guys, this has been a good one. First one back, man. First one back. Hope you guys have missed us. I've missed you guys. Oh, yeah, you two guys, Jeff and Ray. But I was talking to the people. Anyway, you guys have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.
Absolutely.
We'll see you guys on Monday.
And we love you.
All right.
Raymond loves you. Raymond loves you. Me, I'm just here.
Hit that James Brown one more time. No,
that's Master P.
Did it not? Whoa. That was next level.
Next week.
That was him trying to pass a stone. Peace out, guys. I'm not shooting.